While Barack Obama was in Berlin, his opponent stopped by a German restaurant in Columbus, Ohio. John McCain visited Schmidt's Sausage House und Restaurant. The restaurant offered the opportunity for McCain to make one of many recent jabs against Obama's foreign policy. He criticized his opponent for speaking in Germany as a candidate rather than as a president.
McCain has also frequently criticized Obama for his stances on Iraq. Polls show a majority of Americans agree with McCain that the troop surge has succeeded, but they don't agree with his support for the invasion of Iraq. NPR's Scott Horsley reports on what that support says about McCain's foreign policy if he's elected.
John McCain told supporters in New Hampshire this week that the U.S. is winning the war in Iraq, and he tried to explain why that's so important.
We will reduce Iranian influence in the region. We will have a stable and democratic nation there that's flawed but functioning. And I'm confident with victory we'll bring about a change not only there but also in the entire region.
McCain's rationale for the war today sounds a lot like what the neoconservative architects of the invasion were saying in 2002, that the U.S. could reshape the Middle East by replacing Saddam Hussein with a democratic government. Peter Beinart, who's a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, says McCain's thinking on Iraq has neocon assumptions baked in.
Where neoconservatives break from realists is in their belief that America can extend its power very dramatically without producing a backlash.
In contrast, the old realist school of foreign policy, typified by advisors to the first President Bush, believes countries should be careful about projecting their political values overseas to avoid upsetting the global equilibrium. During a speech at the World Affairs Council in Los Angeles this spring, McCain tried to position himself in the middle of that spectrum.
I am an idealist, but I am, from hard experience and the judgment it informs, a realistic idealist.
McCain has displayed both those sides over the years, sometimes opposing U.S. military action overseas and at other times serving as a cheerleader. Voters might ask themselves which view McCain would take as commander-in-chief. Would he act like the cautious realist who warned against sending U.S. Marines to Beirut in the early 1980s, or the aggressive idealist who championed the Iraq War two decades later? McCain's top foreign policy advisor, Randy Schuneman, says it depends.
Senator McCain approaches any proposed use of American force not with some kind of ideological litmus test, but with a hard-headed assessment of what are our interests at stake, what are our values threatened, what can any proposed use of military force achieve.
Schuneman himself has solid neocon credentials. He's a former director of the Project for a New American Century, a neocon think tank. And in 2002, he helped start the Committee for the Liberation of Iraq with the purpose of building public support for the war. He doesn't exactly boast about that neocon pedigree, though.
Oh, I've been called all kinds of things by all kinds of people.
As the Iraq War has dragged on and the costs have mounted, the neocon label has become radioactive. But Michael O'Hanlon of the Brookings Institution says that's mainly because some neocons in the Pentagon tried to fight the war on the cheap. He doesn't believe their failures will necessarily silence neocon voices altogether.
Certainly some of them were guilty of an overly arrogant and optimistic view of how the United States would be welcomed wherever it went around the world. But many neoconservatives felt that if you're in it, you're in it to win it, and you better have plenty of force and don't need to be shy about that worldview.
McCain might easily fall into that camp. As he wrote in 2003, a reluctance to resort to military action is no failing in a president. It's a wise caution that doesn't risk American lives unnecessarily. But, McCain wrote, it's a terrible failing for a president to call on military force and then not use enough to achieve the objective. Scott Horsley, NPR News.